Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
No stranger to our program, our guest, Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project California. You can probably guess why I'm bringing her on. We're having this little thing called a recall. Now, Ruth is not allowed, because of the organization she works with, to comment on how she hopes the election goes. I, on the other hand, do not work for Election Integrity Project. We've got to get this bozo out of Sacramento. Ruth, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you, Bob. Nice to be here.
And I'm here with my wife, Dana, too. Dana has been singing your praises all the way to the studio, so I'm going to let her introduce you in her own way. Go ahead, Lammy Pie. Tell her everything you told me.
Well, I was just saying on the way to the radio station, Ruth, that I so appreciate all the work that you do on the behalf of voters here in California, and especially me. I'm not the most politically up-to-date, and Bob keeps me there a lot of things, but I'm just so grateful for all the work you do, and I know you put in hours and hours on calls and in meetings and going places. So from all of us that want our votes to count, thank you. Thank you, Ruth, for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Dana, very much. We have been working for now almost 11 years.
Wow.
To restore and then defend the integrity of the process in California. And of course, we're still working on part one of that, but we've had a lot of great successes, and a lot more people have been able to be educated as to how best to protect their own vote. And that's what we're all about.
Well, I know that I had you on a couple of months ago, and we went through a lot of detail, but I thought, and it was kind of, I should say, everybody, it was at the 11th hour that I called Ruth, and she was happy to jump in, because I started thinking, boy, this thing's coming right up. And so I just thought, we want to remind people again. I know, Ruth, you've made a point of saying that under no circumstances should we mail our ballots in. And I know there's been some conservative organizations with goodwill said, come to our place, and we'll go and take it down for you, and maybe we can trust them, but there's still stuff that happens at the other end when they get to the precinct and the polls. So please go through with our audience again. Explain to all of us, like we're third graders, why we need to go down, if at all humanly possible, and vote in person and not mail anything in or even have anybody collect it and drive it down for us.
Well, thank you, Bob. We know that there are so many ways to vote right now in California, and it's very confusing to voters. And a lot of people have just been hearing over and over again for more than 20 years now that, hey, let's just vote by mail. It's easy. It's safe. It's all this stuff. And so a lot of people have just kind of glommed onto that and been doing it. But what we want to make sure people understand is that there are risks to using a ballot that you turn in an envelope. And those risks are that they pass through hundreds of hands. And these are not hands of people who are full-time workers in the registrar's office, but people who are hired temporarily, who come in and work. And so the vetting is, I'm sure, as good as they can get it, but we are concerned about who may or may not have been infiltrating. And so, you know, the fewer hands that touch your ballot, the safer it's going to be. But a lot of voters don't understand how much processing goes on once the ballot actually does arrive safely at the location where it will be counted. It has to be verified and sorted and stamped and the signature verified, and then it's taken out and it's inspected. And many, many ballots, and this is what voters don't know, are duplicated. They're copied over so that the ballot that actually goes through in your name is not the one you marked. And so these inspectors are determining whether there was something about the way you marked the ballot, the implement that you used, something you spilled on the ballot, the way it might have gotten crinkled or destroyed or damaged in some way during all of that handling, and what anything like that will cause it to be duplicated. And frankly, I would rather have the ballot that I marked be the one that goes in my name. Also, we have this new thing that everybody's all excited about, where you print your own ballot at home, this remote access thing. And the damage there is tremendous in so many different ways. But every single one of those has to be copied over, because they're only printed at home on your own paper, which is not the same size or weight as a ballot. And so you know your ballot's not going to go in the way you marked it if you vote at home that in that fashion. So these are things that voters really don't know about.
Ruth, can I jump in with that? Are you saying
that
because I think I just understood what you said was somebody could just do their own home printer, print out the ballot, mark it, take it, but that has to be copied over by a human being, right? A computer
isn't going to do it.
So a human being is sitting down with your ballot and the, you know, official California ballot.
What if that human being doesn't like the way you mark the ballot? Can't they just mark it a different way?
Well, that's what we're concerned about, and that's one of the things we do is send observers to watch the process, and we also would very much like to audit that section just to look at the duplicated ballots. But there's no small number of ballots that get copied over for all kinds of different reasons. And I think that people don't understand that, and that's what we're trying to do is let people know what the risks are, and then they can make a legitimate choice based on the, how they want to take the risks or not take the risks.
Right.
Bob mentioned the process of ballot harvesting. And again, you know, EIPCA understands a lot of groups are out there with really super good intentions, and they do a really good job of ballot harvesting. But we believe that that's kind of giving the wrong message to voters, that it's okay to just relinquish your ballot in the hands of someone else rather than taking responsibility for your own ballot. So we don't like the message there.
But because if you trust the person that you put the ballot in the hand of, it's going to go into somebody else's hand later that you don't know, correct?
It still is. Yes, it's still, as long as it's in an envelope, you run the risk of all the different things that can and do happen in the processing and potential manipulation or just error alone.
And folks, if you don't think this could happen, I just have one sentence for you. November 2021.
Yeah.
How about November 2020, Bob?
Oh, that's right. Oh, November 2020 for
that hasn't come yet.
For the installation of the 2021 president. That's
See, that's why Ruth does this. She catches all that stuff.
See? I wish Ruth was working at the polls. See that little correction she just made?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Okay, so keep going on that. That's awesome.
What real in-person voting is that you go to the polling location and you give them your vote-by-mail ballot. Doesn't matter whether it's already voted or not. You give it to them and you say, I want to surrender. That's the word you remember, surrender. I don't want to use this ballot. And they will simply invalidate that ballot for you in whatever way is it, the county determines.
And don't you want to stand there and watch them destroy the ballot in your presence,
you
too?
Make sure.
You don't want to just
you
take their word for it.
Yeah. Right. Now, in San Diego, what they will do is they will mark surrendered across the ballot and across the envelope, and then they will tear it in half, and then they will put it in a box. And that's what they should do in front of you before they have you sign in as an in-person voter. New this year is that we don't have paper ballots. We have a ballot marking device. So you will mark your ballot on that device, and then it will print your ballot for you after you've marked it. And then you will take that paper ballot. You will look at it. You will verify that it says what you wanted it to say, and then you'll turn it into a sealed box. Once you do that, that sealed box goes to the registrar's office at the end of the night, and the only time it comes out is when it's going into the tabulator. So there's none of that other processing that happens with the ballots that come in envelopes. So it has much less opportunity for anyone to mess with it or trash it or change it or alter it.
Now, those machines aren't made by Dominion or Smartmatic, are they?
They are part of the Dominion system, and that's a whole new wrinkle that people have. And I think we have some real concerns about the Dominion system, not that it is corrupted, but it could be corruptible. And I think when you're talking about November 2020, if you believe that there was some manipulation in that election, you would have to realize by looking at the statistics that it was not widespread everywhere all over the place. It was only in very key spots where they needed to just get over that edge to get those.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, California is a very key thing for Governor Newsom. So I think some people may be really motivated
to do that. I understand voters' concerns, and we've talked a lot about these and part of the lawsuit that we have going, which people can go to our website, eip-ca.com, and download the PDF of our lawsuit complaint if they want to know what it's about. But a part of that lawsuit will involve taking a look at the machines and the hardware and the software and stuff. And so that's a good thing. Somebody needs to do that just to reassure voters one way or the other whether we can trust these machines. But we have determined at this point that the risk of manipulation with vote-by-mail ballots, since they go through the Dominion tabulator anyway, is much, much less severe if you vote in person at a polling location. Those ballot marking devices are not voting machines. They don't store your vote. They have no information in them. All they do is print what you tell them to print. basically.
Well, I agree with that. We can't try to outsmart and outthink every possible way they may try to cheat. So we've got to just at least minimize the possibility as much as we can. And what I'm hearing from you is, by all means, get down there and vote in person. Even with somebody with good intentions, don't hand your ballot to anybody to take down for you. Don't mail it in.
If at all possible, that is our recommendation. And also remember, we have in San Diego this time 4 days to vote. So you don't have to wait until the last day and then maybe potentially have crowds to deal with. If you can vote on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th instead of waiting until the 14th, you probably won't have any kind of a wait at all. And you get through and you can vote in any vote center in the entire county. You don't have to go to one you're assigned to. You can vote anywhere. And so it's easier than ever.
Okay. And we would find out where those vote centers are. How?
Well, your vote by mail ballot, when you received it, it listed the three locations closest to you. So you can choose among those. But the entire list is very easy to find on the San Diego Registrar's website, which is SB for San Diego, sbvote.com.
Okay, great.
All right. Ruth Wise with Election Integrity Project. Ruth, thank you so much for what you're doing. We need people like you to stand there in the fire and just protect us from voter fraud.
Well, thank you for your support, too.
Okay.
And
God
your
bless
wonderful
you.
Show, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Ruth.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.